Did I use enough bronzer? Are these lashes not big enough? Where did I leave my other Lee press-on nails?
And now, kids, welcome into Show 60 here on the Fucknologist on CSN USA. I'm your host, AJ Strong. Joining me, as always, Rocket Backhander. How are you?
Good afternoon, boys and girls. I am Rocket Backhander. Buckle in.
Wow. Okay. Nicotine is bad, people. Remember to subscribe to the cast on SoundCloud or the podcast platform of your choice. If you're on iTunes, throw some love on there. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to the YouTube channel and check out Teal Town After Dark after every single Sharks game. And feel free to leave a comment on SoundCloud or YouTube or hit us up on Twitter. We'll do our best to answer. So let's do that hockey. The Sharks 4-1 and oh, over their last five, 11-2-2 over their last 15. Good for 25-13-7, 57 points, third in the division, one back of Vegas and Calgary, third in the conference. Three Pacific teams leading the Western Conference. Remember how everybody said how badly the Pacific Division was going to suck? Remember that? Just saying. Supposedly weak Pac Div killing it with a combined 13-game win streak. Tampa, the team that the Sharks just beat, is the only other team that's, like, up there. So maybe some of you prognosticators didn't know what you were talking about. So 5-2 victory versus Tampa Bay for the first game. The Sharks dominate the best team in the NHL, holding Kucherov pointless and to a minus four, ending Tampa's seven-game win streak, handing them their first regulation loss since November 27th. Dell, funnily enough, would play for about 90 seconds when Jones would throw a blade. And just after being named to the AHL All-Star Game, Jake Middleton would get his first NHL start as Schimmick would remain out after that Bennett hit absorbed during the Calgary game. Braun and Vlasic, of course, out from injury sustained versus Colorado. So, Rocket, you got to be pretty damn happy when you beat the best.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is such a tough situation. Yes, it is wonderful that they are progressing and that things are beginning to gel and that everyone is finding their place within the system. But it is deeply concerning to me that they're finding this as their shutdown defensive pair has been removed from the equation.
To be fair, that shutdown defensive pair hasn't been shutting down a whole lot this season, but
I know.
But I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Hopefully this time away from the game maybe helps them out. Who
maybe.
Knows?
We'll
Who
see.
Knows? You know, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And the Sharks did that versus Tampa. That was one of their most solid games probably this entire season. Great job. So, of course, you followed that to the trap game, right? Versus LA. LA comes in, worst team in the Pacific Division. And you think that, okay, this has trap written all over. Instead, Donskoy would get his fifth in five games. As Hurdle would get the game winner. Thornton would get an yet another empty netter. That's Thornton's, you know, coup de grace. While EK65 would get three assists in this one for a 3-1 victory for the Sharks over the Kings. Breaking news, Dion Phaneuf still a douchebag. Not only did he knee Timo Meier in the noggin, he also got into it with Barkley Goodrow in front of the net. He also had a little issue with Evander Kane. Oh, Phaneuf, I cannot wait for you to be out of the NHL, Rocket.
Hey, you know, Kings don't have much going for him. And if that's one of the assets that Phaneuf brings to his game, I don't fault him for it. It's just, it's a hallmark of a team that is desperate and struggling. So, I mean, I'm glad the Sharks didn't hand them a 12-0 humiliation, because I don't know if a team can come back from that. I don't care how many closed door meetings there is. So But yeah, I was looking at the stats, the standings online today. It was so shocking to see Calgary at the top and there at the very, very bottom, past Calgary, past Arizona, way at the bottom as the Los Angeles Kings. And that was, God, man, not even tied for last place, like proudly owning last place all by themselves. Your Los Angeles Kings.
Yeah, not really doing it. A couple of interesting notes on this one, though. Simic would get back into the lineup, so Middleton, of course, goes to the press box. Campbell would get the start over Quick, even though Quick was first off the ice that morning. So no real explanation there as to why the Kings went with that one. But the thing worth noting, and if you haven't seen it, the GIF is on the Tealtown USA Twitter. There was such a stretch pass from EK65 on the hurdle goal that it's just worth looking at again. So go check out the GIF. What a pass. EK coming in. So how do the Sharks follow up and play? How do they look on their third game in four nights? They bring in the Edmonton Oilers, and somehow the Sharks are able to score yet another touchdown against this team.
I don't get that one.
Oh, man. Two games versus the Oilers. The Sharks have scored 14 points. Oh, I'm sorry. Goals. You know, because it sounds like football.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Sharks just taking advantage of a team clearly just Hitchcock cannot save them. I mean, this is a team that had 8-2 stretch and then proceeded to win three of their next 12. This is bad. Sorensen would get a penalty shot in this one and score. So that's one that if you have a hard ticket, maybe you file that one away. I was there for Sorensen's first penalty shot. Kane and EK65, both the EKs putting up 3-point nights. Donskoy would net two for 7 points in his last six games. Kane gets two. At some point, Koskinen replaced Talbot. I don't think anyone really noticed, because it was pretty much the same thing. But in this one, Erik Karlsson would become the fifth defenseman in NHL history with at least one assist in 14 straight games that he had appeared in. Remember, this is a quirky stat because he was suspended for two games. So they can't say, you know, consecutive games. It's consecutive appearances. What do you think about this one, Rock? I mean, not even McDavid could save them yet again.
Yeah, man. Like, I'm a big fan of the movie. Well, I'm a big fan of the Coen brothers. One of their movies is The Big Lebowski. And there's a line in there that says, you know, it was darker than a black steer's tukus on a moonless night or moonless prairie night. And that's basically the Oilers' future. It's just dark and there's no bottom. These keep going. I feel bad for Connor McDavid. I think somebody should get him out of there. Just get him out. Just give the kid a chance to go play with some talent and, you know, just get him out of there. I don't even care if he goes to Toronto at this point. Just get him out.
Oh, bite your tongue, woman.
See, I'm like, you know what? That's a super group kind of NBA dream team that I would like to see. It's Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid on the same lineup.
Oh, man. Yeah, could you imagine McDavid, Matthews... trying to think.
Oh, they'd be like the NHL Bash Brothers.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you got them down the middle, and then it's like, oh, and by the way, we're going to bring over Sidney Crosby too to be our third line center. Yeah. So, luckily there was no shenanigans in this Edmonton game where we're not sure, did Ty Ratty score it? Did McDavid score it? There was none of that silliness going on. The other guy I feel for Edmonton, Darnell Nurse, that poor guy. He's like literally the only thing going well for Edmonton on the blue line. So there you go. That was the week that was in Sharks hockey. So let's get into, the good and bad and ugly of it. So obviously for me, the good.
Oh, yeah.
Is the Sharks beat the best team in the league while missing three defensive starters. Šimek, Vlasic, and Braun all out, yet the Sharks continued to win. Now, let me also put this in a different context. if you go back just a couple of seasons ago, if you remember, I know I do, anytime Vlasic was out of the lineup, the Sharks could not buy a win. So the fact that they've won three consecutive games since losing Vlasic speaks volumes. Rocket?
I mean, you start talking about that, and my mind goes to dark, dark places, AJ. I don't want to think about that. Yeah, so the good. I don't know. What's good, people? I think that the defensive system with the absence of Vlasic and Braun is such that you have all three lines with kind of the same mentality and the same style. And with Vlasic and Braun, I think that when they would have a line change or a shift, because their style is different than the other two lines, they would try to get the same assignment done and not be able to handle it as well. Whereas when you have people with the same style working for the same goal, because they're doing it in the same fashion, they're not stepping on each other's toes and they're advancing each other. So, I mean, yeah, it's good, but it's also bittersweet as well. But such is hockey and is life. Nothing gold can stay, man. Oh, so yeah, I was talking, rambling. What is my good? My good is that they're not giving up sloppy goals. That's great. There's not really desperate turnovers out there. There's not a whole lot of sloppy goals. And nobody's scored on their own net this week. Good for the Sharks.
Oh, hey now. Oh, speaking of which.
Hey now.
For my hey now this week, who gets more points, EK65 or BB88? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I of course would lean towards EK65 just because if he had the start we all expected. The fact that it took him about 22 games to put it together, I think I would have went EK65. But it's, who are you going with? I think if EK65 keeps up this pace, I gotta go that way.
I'm going with IDGAF.
Oh, hey now, okay. Just something to talk about. That's why we're at with the middle.
Mm-hmm. Don't care.
No. Okay.
Really?
Will Jones ever get back over 900 save percentage? that's clearly the ugly of it all. Now, hey, now you can point to the fact that look at the last game, Jones over 900. That's what we're looking for in a goaltender. So we see Aaron Dell versus the Edmonton Oilers. It just hurts to that whole game. But posted a 909. I mean, yeah, you can post 909 when the team in front of you putting up seven goals. But at least Martin Jones, his last game, 957. That is a great save percentage. Unsustainable, yet a great save percentage. When you look at, I believe, his previous five games before that had not cracked 905 but one time. So let's see a little more of that. I want more 2019 Jones, less 2018 Jones. Mm. That's kind of where I'm at with my ugly. What about you?
The ugly is that they've hit this wonderful, beautiful stride with, like I said, Braun and Vlasic out of the system. They can't make Braun and Vlasic ride the pine for the rest of the season. So what are they going to do? They're not going to stick them on waivers and send them down to the AHL. And so what's going to happen when they try to insert them back into this little happy Brady bunch that they've got going on here? Okay. Is it okay? I'm sorry. I'm so pessimistic and I have no faith in anything. It's just been that kind of year for me. So that's the kind of fan I am.
Nice.
I'm miserable.
And with that, let's talk about the three stars.
Oh, good for you.
We're just going to throw this out right now. Hockey Jerk. In fact, that may be a contest that we're going to do pretty soon. Where in the world is Hockey Jerk? I have a hint, not hanging out with Carmen Sandiego. However, his star for this week, of course, Erik Karlsson. 25 points in his last 14 games. How do you not give him that star? Rocket, who's your star for the week?
Yeah, my star for the week is going to be Barclay Goodrow. He doesn't get enough recognition. He's not the shiniest, happiest, sexiest player on the ice. You know, his game isn't suave and sophisticated and make you drool all over yourself. But man, he's got his moments and everything about his mechanics is solid. So I don't know, like he's like your grocery getter. he's the player you don't mind having in the parking lot a little bit too close to the cart corral. If someone knocks into it, you don't care. You don't have that kind of investment in it, but you know that the engine's solid, you know. Barkley Goodrow, this one's for you.
Wow. And I thought you were giving it to him just because he did get Phaneuf in the face with the stick a little bit. But mine, of course, Tomáš Hertl. This kid has been thrown back into the pivot position. And we know that previously at that spot under DeBoer that Hertl did not have the most success. The kid has really turned it around in these last five games playing the pivot and has made the Sharks just all of a sudden, wow, look at all this depth we have here. So it's finally the line blender seems to have spit out the smoothie we were all ready to drink. So for that, I'll even give a partial star to Pete DeBoer.
Oh, good for you.
So let's talk Shark Bites.
Shark Bites.
For those of you who have not been to a game recently at the Tank, you'll notice a little something when you go. I've certainly have over the last couple of games. SAP Center has quietly been replacing their seating, and oh my God, what a difference. Oh, the support to the buttocks is so much better. So much comfier. Oh, just wanted to let you know a couple other kind of the more you know FYIs. Did you know that there is a stealth name and numbering option available at the store? So rather, if you go get a stealth jersey, instead of having the white lettering and numbering that you see the players wearing on the ice, it's black print with teal outline, very stealthy looking. Boy, what if you had the option, Rocket? I mean, they both look sexy, but would you rather have the one the players wear, or would you rather have this kind of interesting one-off that you can only literally get at the store? Because you can get the white ones on Shop NHL, but
sure,
you know, that's kind of what I like about it, that the store is the only place you can get this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's all right. It depends on what your aesthetic is. There's some people that feel that the only acceptable name on a nameplate is a current or past player. They feel it's very inappropriate for you to get a personalized or your last name or the last name of somebody who doesn't exist.
Look at the D-Puck guy.
so like some people think that that's an abomination. So other people would feel that same way, like, you know, oh, you have to have what the players have. And there's room for those kinds of people. There's a product for those kinds of people. But hey, for other people who, you know, think it's as if you have a stealth jersey and you want a stealth nameplate and just be like hella stealthy, then yeah, I have nothing. I'm not going to hate on that. If it makes you happy and you just want to floss your Sharks gear like that, by all means, hey, go for it.
Hashtag hella stealthy.
Hella stealthy.
The sampling with the Sharks date has been announced, as have prices. This Sharks Foundation annual event coming to you March 5th this time. We spoke with Sharks Foundation top dog, Heather Hooper, earlier this, just before this season began. And if you remember a couple seasons ago, the sampling event was $225 to attend. And from what I know, was there a VIP option when you went, or was that not available?
I'm sure there was a VIP option. It probably was like you get your own full bottle of wine and early access to some stuff, but I don't remember. It's been a while and I was really in a bad headspace. Oh God.
Well, a couple of years ago, the price for this was $225. Well, if you remember last year, the Sharks Foundation eliminated the bowling event, which kind of sucks because that's a very family-friendly event. It's also far more laid back, whereas the sampling event, obviously, it's a wine event, so anyone under 21, not going to be getting into this. And the other issue is it's a bit more, shall we say, hoity-toity. You know, the players wearing suits instead of, you know, just, I don't know, polos and jeans to go bowl. But the big thing being is that the price went up from $225 to $390. And a lot of people said, wait, what? And it seemed to me like, well, they've shut down this other event. Plus, the other thing is now they don't have to rent out a venue. They're holding these sampling events at the Tank. So it kind of felt like, well, maybe they're just trying to make all their money in one event. But Heather said, you know what? We have gotten some pushback from some of the fans. And they said, you know what? So we're going to be reducing the amount to go to the sampling event. So I said, oh, okay. You know, and I'm thinking in my mind, well, it was $225. You jacked it up to $390. So I'm thinking, you know what? Good, happy medium would probably be $325. No, the Sharks Foundation decided that just bringing the price down $15 was more than enough for them. So $375 this season. VIP still available at $1,000, which gets you, I believe, in 1 hour earlier. And maybe I think you have that VIP thing, I believe, takes place in the lounge where the actual event takes place out on, well, not on the ice, but, you know, out in the middle of the venue, but you'll get some nicer food in the lounge for your $1,000. But reducing it $15,
No, I wouldn't. You know what? Okay, I went, and I'm not the kind of person that feels comfortable just walking up to a professional hockey player and be like, "Hey, how you doing, bud?" Blah 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 blah, because I don't feel like I know them outside of what they do for work, and I feel bad for them that they have to talk about their work all the time. So I would want to talk about something. Anyway, it was, well, I stood by the ATM and just stared at everybody all night. It was really uncomfortable.
I'm sure if you brought up tattoos or snakes, you could probably get Burnsy going, but
anyway. Oh my God. No, that, like, I wouldn't even try, because there were so many people with money who were like, "You're mine. I paid this money and I get to be in front of you. I paid for you." You know what I mean? Like, they had that kind of attitude, which was really unattractive for me. But they have this thing, this auction, where they auction off like events where you can go wine tasting with Brent Burns and his family, and they pick you up in the bus, or they'll go to the zoo together. And they made a ridiculous amount of money on that, just in that little auction right there. So this feels like a cash grab. Like, you got those kind of events that clearly are bringing in huge high dollar amounts. You've got, and I don't want them to try to give you this BS excuse like, "Oh, well, some of it goes to cover rising costs of vendors and so on and so forth." You know what? You could probably end up bringing like some box hooch and a six pack of like some Pabst, and everybody would still show up anyway and just be like, "Yeah, this is some pretty good hooch, isn't it? Yeah, that's great. Here's my $275, Sharks. I had an amazing time." Like, come on. Don't, you can be bougie, but be smart about it. And this is not a smart way to try to be bougie. You're just, it's a bougie front for a cash grab. And I, for one, am not for it. Also, bring back the golf tournament.
Right. Yeah, that's my thing about it. I just feel like, you know, one of the things that you want to do is try to grow the game. And how do you grow the game? It's by getting to younger fans. Well, when you're, to me, exactly what you're saying is that it just comes off as that this is really catering towards like the corporate dollar and that type of thing, which is fine. But if you're going to do that, at least provide an event like the bowling thing where you can have kids, and, you know, that's a big thing for them. Look, charge what you're going to charge. It all goes to charity. I get that. But at least have an event for kids too. I mean, like you were saying about the whole just bringing Paps and, you know, a box wine and whatever hooch. That's the whole thing, is you could hold an event at the Tank that would be like, I don't know, it could be sampling with the Sharks, and it would be like all different kinds of, like, I don't know, flavored waters or something that was for kids, and they could like get autographs or something like that, get some photos. I mean, besides FanFest, because that's my other issue with that, is when it comes to like FanFest, is they don't limit the amount of tickets enough. And I understand you want to make some money for a good cause. I get that. But at some point, you reach a threshold where the event is no longer any fun to go to because you sell too many tickets for it. And I understand it's kind of like, it's, you know, it's like, oh, nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded. Wait, what? Like those statements are in direct opposition of each other. Oh, you could be here all day debating this, but yeah, hey, sampling with the Sharks. Great. Sounds like a fun thing to do. I would do it if I had, you know, $375 burning a hole in my pocket, but I'd rather do something that is, as you say, not so bougie. I want a bowl.
Well, here's the other side of that coin. If you're going to keep rates that high, you need to get a venue out in Saratoga where those people live. Don't make them come to downtown San Jose. Seriously, they don't want to be in that. That's why they invented Santana Row. Come on. Yeah,
like, it's sampling with the Sharks. Like, dude, do this event at like the Mountain Winery in Saratoga, man.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. And then you can charge another $200 on top of all those tickets. And everybody would be like, yeah, we're on board because you're catering to those people. Mm-hmm. You're getting a mismatch in like where who the people you're catering the event to and the venue where you're catering. You need to go to those people if you want them to give you their money. I'm giving this to you for free, Sharks. Come on.
Hey, now. Also, talking about the SAP Center, the Shark Tank was named the top concert arena in the Bay Area by Pollstar Magazine. With all due respect to the Shark Tank, you know, I love that building, but what other venue would you choose? The Cow Palace?
Shoreline. Come on.
But the Shoreline is not an arena.
It's an amphitheater.
That's different than an arena. An arena would be the Cow Palace, the Oakland Arena. See, I can't say the San Jose Civic Center. That's not an arena, although there have been concerts there. I mean, it's called, when it opened up, it was called the San Jose Arena. Mm-hmm, Oakland, yeah. It's called the Oracle Arena.
But it was the Oakland Arena.
Yeah, and it was the Oakland Arena. That's great. But either way, it's great. Like, I just think it's funny that it's like, name the top concert arena. And it's like, okay, what was the competition? Oakland. And that building's been around forever.
Wow.
And when the new Warriors, when Chase Center, or whatever the hell the name of the new Warriors building is going to be, I guarantee you that the Shark Tank is going to fall down to number two on that list.
But will they have a Shark Tank though?
Who knows? No, there will, some sort of Warriors. Okay, let's not even go there. we got an article from our buddy Paul Gackle talking about how Doug Wilson suddenly is open to the idea of a rental. Now, typically, which I don't know if it's that because Doug Wilson's been burned too many times by guys like, you know, Brian Campbell and Bill Guerin and what have you. But before it was always, you know, well, when we make that move for right at the trade deadline, that's that player. Is he going to be good for now, but also for the future? And now Doug Wilson appears to not really give a damn about the future. It's all about today. Which raises two questions. Is he doing this because he knows that this is like kind of the end for some key guys on this team? Thornton, Pavelski, like, you know, there's a few key guys at the end of their, this is it after this year, quite potentially. Although Pavelski making that decision very hard for Doug Wilson this year.
I was about to say.
Yeah, but it just makes me wonder, like, is he really going just all in, because they only have 1.2 in cap space right now. Now, granted, you do have some proven pieces, and you have some nice pieces with the Barracuda. I mean, Perron's playing well. Gambrell is playing well right now. Merkley leads all the OHL defensemen in scoring right now. Chmielewski has racked up 6 points in his 7 games for Team USA. I mean, Chekovic with the Q. He leads the Q in goals and points. There are some nice pieces in the pipe. So you could move a couple things and still be, because that used to be the whole thing. That's the drag on Wilson. Is like, oh, well, you traded all these picks, so the cupboard was bare. Well, the cupboard is far from bare right now. So the other thing being, who are you going for? Because I'm hearing a lot of speculation like, oh, there could be a forward, a particular guy you would go after. I'm thinking more along the lines of in net. Maybe you try to find a piece to put between the pipes. I mean, Wilson expressed full confidence in the backstoppers, but let's see how where his confidence is if both Dell and Jones are sub 500 as we're looking at Valentine's Day. I mean, what piece are you looking for, Rocket, that you're going, you know, this would be the thing that put us over the top if we got this forward within reason? Do not throw Connor McDavid at me.
Yeah, I think they need one more little super creative, ridiculous breakout superstar defenseman so that they've got one on. Yeah, because we've got two of them. We need one more. And like Pokemon, you got to catch them all and complete the set. Otherwise, it's just not going to work. Like, it's not going to work. This team is not going to get far with their system defensively if they don't have all three lines doing the same thing. So, yeah, we need one more little Burns or one more little Carlson, and then they all three lines can do the same thing, and then we'll dominate.
I don't know. I'm pretty happy with the defense, especially the way 65 and 88 have been scoring. They're doing quite well. Dylan has been the most improved defenseman and very consistent this season. Joakim Ryan, not looking that good. Šimek has basically played him out of a spot. Vlasic and Brunn, yeah, that's something that you can look at. But you're kind of handcuffed to Vlasic for the next 7 years. Maybe you move Brunn and something and get in a higher level player. Who knows? There's definitely something, but I don't. Again, to me, the big thing is in between the pipes. Mm-hmm. Jones and Dell have to get over this 900 hump and be far more consistent, but we shall see. You know, it's kind of like, remember Sorensen a couple over the last two seasons before this year? There was regular season Sorensen and playoff Sorensen. And you know what? Regular season Sorensen didn't matter. You know what I mean? Anywho. So the Barracuda have kind of gotten themselves into a little bit of a quagmire here lately. I don't know if that's because they've lost a couple pieces to the Sharks, whether it be a Middleton or, certainly I don't think it's Charche. But after going through a ridiculous stretch, they've kind of gotten into some 500 hockey where it's literally win-loss, 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 win-loss over 10 games. But have no fear, Ontario is here, and they're the worst team. just like their big boy counterparts, the LA Kings, Ontario, the worst team in their division. The Barracuda just whooped up on Ontario and have two more against them before facing Stockton, who, again, not too great by any stretch. So this is going to be the time for the Barracuda to try to bank some more points, still leading their division by a decent margin. So keep it up, Cuda, and hopefully we're going to be doing something soon with the Cuda as playoffs start to approach.
Playoffs?
So it's time to whip it out.
No.
Around the horn, baby. Ovechkin and now Carey Price are not going to the All-Star game. Do I care? Eh. We all suspected Crosby might be the second one to bag out, but it's Carey Price. And from what I understand, they're looking at Vaz from Tampa. I always mispronounce his name, but they're looking at Vaz from Tampa, I guess, to take his place. So I don't know. They're going all over the place, and I really don't care. It's about scores. You know, in fact, the reason why they send any goaltenders to this game, I don't even know why. We just want to see the passing. The other big thing, the NHL released their All-Star game jerseys. And after putting out a very colorful logo and implementing those same colors in their roster reveal, everything with the beautiful, bright, kind of a baby blue and almost a red pinkish color, and there was the golden yellow and then orange, you know, this really nice Nope, black and white, monochrome, everything. That's all we're doing. And in fact, we're not even doing four jerseys anymore after we did that the previous two All-Star games. We're just going to do a black version and a white version. The big difference in this, though, being that I believe this is the first time ever that instead of the guy skating around with a big NHL shield on their chest, they'll actually wear the crest of the team that they actually play for. Fine. But I don't understand why you had all this colorful stuff leading into it. And then it's like, oh, by the way, everything is black. It looks like an LA Kings inter-squad game. That's what this is going to look like on All-Star game.
You're not wrong.
I mean, black and white TV. Hey, won't matter for this one.
Right?
Yeah. So, NHL, do better. I mean, come on. The look of these, and the really funny thing is it looks like they were inspired by the Centennial knockoff jerseys we saw with the heathered striping and everything. Again, you really can't knock something until you've seen it in person and tried it on and all of that, but I don't know. I saw this and I just think, you know, I think you guys could have come up with something a scotch better, but if you look and compare it to previous All-Star jerseys, this is at least a decent start in that they're wearing the crest. Like I said, I guess I don't know. Is the promotional aspect of this going to be 2019 All-Star jerseys? It could have been worse. That's like the commercial. Hey, the Sharks got a couple games coming up at Vegas. Don't say that one isn't huge. Vegas, they're okay. You know, they're only second in the division. Think this one could be a big matchup, especially after we saw how Calgary and San Jose went at it when first place was on the line. Think this might be a big game, not to mention, remember, it's the team that knocked you out of the playoffs.
Playoffs.
And San Jose only 1 point behind Vegas, despite San Jose having a game in hand in this. The big thing for this, San Jose bringing in a 4-game win streak, Vegas bringing in a 7-game win streak. Someone is going to break, people. But then again, the last team that the Sharks faced that had a 7-game win streak fell to San Jose. Let's hope that happens again. Then, to top that off, you talk about trap game written all over it. After the buildup, like you've just played the best team, Tampa, and you knocked off the Kings and you knocked off Edmonton, and you get this stretch of three versus the guys in your own division. And then, okay, so who's next? Oh, we're going to give you the worst team in hockey with the Ottawa Senators. How's that? Worst team in the NHL. The only good thing or kind of cool thing being is former prospect, former Cuda Rudolph's Balsers, and that is his first NHL goal. So I guess the Jones and Dell can thank God for that, so they don't have to worry about giving him his first NHL goal, which, of course, the Sharks do more than anybody else. Now, hear me out, Rocket. I'm going to be a little, just a scotch, selfish. There's a small part of me rooting for the Sharks to lose versus Vegas and win versus Ottawa. And the reason being is because that would be the 1,000th win in franchise history. How awesome would that be? Because I'm going to that game. I have a ticket. And who doesn't want to see that in person? Come on.
No, I think as a fan that's greedy, you want them to get to that number as soon as possible. And if you're not there to celebrate it, well, hey, that's just part of the deal.
Oh, I'm so greedy. So
you
greedy,
are.
Greedy, 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 greedy. Well, let's see here. We're going to be doing this again in a few days. We'll try to get back onto our normal schedule of Sunday night, Monday morning. So where can the final people find you and your thoughts?
The final people can find me and my thoughts hanging out on the beach, deep in contemplation about, did I use enough bronzer? Are these lashes not big enough? Where did I leave my other Lee press-on nails? You know, the deep questions in life. Man, I am just bitter, and I got, like, no kind of hope for this team. And that makes me angry because I should have a lot more love and respect for these boys. I do. I love their sweet faces and I miss their sweet faces. I think maybe I'm just cranky. That's all it is. You know, dark side of the sun. I'm cranky. Well, it'll get better. It always does. My name is Rocket Backhander. And if you don't mind me being such a cranky brat when I'm not so cranky, I'm fun to hang out with. You should check me out. It's Twitter, capital R, capital B, little Ackhander 76. That's R Backhander 76 on the Twitter. Or if you want to see some photographs, hey, who doesn't like to see photographs, right? Check me out on Instagram, Rocket Backhander. One word.
Cool, cool, cool. I am AJ underscore strong. I swear I can speak. I've done it before. AJ underscore strong on Twitter, on Instagram. And final thought for me is to quote the one and only Captain Joe Pavelski, keep doing whatever it is you're doing. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, your favorite podcast catcher. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TealTownUSA. Remember, Teal Town After Dark, following every single Sharks game. It's live. It's interactive. It's on YouTube. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for episode 61.